From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned for a message from the Word of God, preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. This week, Dr. Cairns brings a message entitled The Power of the Spirit, part of an extensive series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. The text is Acts 1, verse 8, in which, just prior to His ascension to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ told His disciples, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In the previous message on the filling of the Spirit, Dr. Cairns pointed out that there are two lines of teaching on that subject. On the one hand, every Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit, in the sense that the Spirit comes to dwell within the believer at the moment of conversion. However, there is also a sudden empowerment of the Spirit for special acts of service for Christ. This may happen repeatedly in the Christian's experience. It is this aspect of the filling of the Spirit that Dr. Cairns will stress in this message. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to answer the question, Does the Bible command Christians to tithe? The video version of this comment may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
Does the Bible command Christians to tithe? Well, let me start off by saying I have always practiced tithing from a very young person. Even in the hardest financial times of life, I've practiced tithing. Not giving with a sense that I want to get from God, but simply because I believe that God had blessed me with whatever I have, and that first tithe would go to Him. In the Old Testament, tithing was commanded. The Lord Jesus told the Jews of His day, when He said that you tithe, but there are certain things you don't do, He said, these you ought to have done, but not leave the other undone. So He said, yes, you should have tithed, for it's commanded. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. That's the command of God in the Old Testament, Malachi 3:10. Now the question is, does that command come over into the New Testament church? I've said, I have always practiced tithing. But I will say that I do not believe that the law of tithing as a law comes into the New Testament church. I say that for a theological reason, as the Westminster Confession of Faith very clearly sets forth, and I believe the Bible clearly teaches, there is a threefold division of the law. There's the moral law, there's the ceremonial law, and then there's the civil law of Israel. Now, the moral law is binding as a rule of life upon Christians. It's what's called in theology the third use of the law. It's still there. The ceremonial law has been abrogated, for it's been fulfilled in Christ. The civil law of Israel, that's the laws governing the state of Israel in the Old Testament, will in many cases carry spiritual principles that can be applied to spiritual life in the New Testament church. But the law itself as it stands does not so apply. The civil law of Israel is not a law for the New Testament church. Now, I think tithing is not in the moral law. It's in the civil law of Israel. Now, try to put it all together. Giving is a matter of the heart to God. If in the Old Testament they gave a tithe, I would reckon personally that the tithe would be the minimum, even without a law. The New Testament standard is, as Paul told the Corinthians, according to your means, as God has prospered you, so you give. And the beautiful picture of the Macedonian Christians that we read of in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the apostle there talks about these people who out of their deep poverty gave with such liberality that they abounded with joy, and the work of God was carried forth. Giving is a privilege. Let us not make it some sort of a legalistic thing that, oh, I have to give to God or the church. No, let us not even do it the charismatic way of giving in order to get. You give this and God will give you a whole lot more. Let's give out of worship, out of love for Him who gave everything for us. If we, like the Macedonians, give out of that heart that's in love with Christ and out of faith in Him, God will bless our giving and bless us in our giving. And He'll prosper us according to His will, not suffering us to be reduced to beggary. He'll meet our needs. He'll not meet our greed, but He'll meet our need. So, and that's a very, very good distinction, by the way. But while tithing is not a law, yet giving is. But it's more than a law. Let's give first of ourselves and out of the fullness of our heart, liberally. Let's give to the support of God's work.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We have been delighted with the response to these programs. Your words of appreciation and your letters and emails have been most encouraging. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. And we're pleased to announce that the latest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is Darwinism. Two Free Presbyterian ministers deal with the fruit and the fallacies of Charles Darwin's theories. In that connection, there is a report on the wonders of God's handiwork displayed at the Creation Museum located near Cincinnati, Ohio. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on Dr. S.B. Cook. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the nation of France. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, is it ever right to have an abortion? What is revival? And do all who die as infants go to heaven? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
To take a text this morning to cover all the passages of Scripture we read, I think it would have to be in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, where the Lord Jesus said to His disciples, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." If you were with us last Lord's Day morning, you'll recall that we were thinking on the text in Ephesians 5 and the 18th verse, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." We were noticing the peculiar meaning of the words that the apostle was using as he wrote those instructions to the Ephesian church. He was very clearly dictating that every Christian should continually live full of the Holy Ghost. That is, under the control and the dominion the perpetual leadership of the Spirit of the living God. Now that's the teaching of Ephesians 5 and 18. However, there is a parallel truth that runs beside this through the Scriptures. Because equally, every Christian needs the power of the Spirit of God in his service for the Savior. This power, and I'll have quite a bit more to say on that word as we proceed, but this power coming upon the child of God for service is in the Scriptures termed being filled with the Holy Ghost. And I did last week draw the distinction and will again press the distinction as well as the close relation between abiding full, that is under the continuing influence and dominion of the Spirit on the one hand, and being filled with the Spirit on the other hand. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Acts 2 and verse 4 tells us of the fulfillment that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now notice as we start out, and keep in mind, otherwise you'll find it difficult, as so many people do, to understand the Scriptures in this subject, the distinction in these two related phrases. We sometimes get the impression that the Holy Ghost is a liquid. Now I know that sounds crazy when you put it into words, but that's how even preachers seem to talk about the Holy Spirit, that he's like a liquid, and if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit. You've got to understand that these are metaphors. They are intended to bring a spiritual meaning. But when we say full of the Holy Ghost, as in Acts 7 and 55, that Stephen existed full of the Holy Ghost, we are simply saying there is a man whose perpetual condition is one of being under the controlling influence of the Spirit. His life is constantly full of the fruit of the Spirit, full of the guidance of the Spirit, full in its surrender and its acceptance and experience of the control of the Spirit. When we talk about a man being filled with the Spirit, we are talking about something certainly related but very different. It's a very interesting thing when you come to the New Testament Scriptures and study them carefully. You will find that while the verb that we noticed last week in Ephesians 5 and 18 is always linked with the idea of an abiding condition, the verb in Acts 2 and 4 and other such passages where we're told people were filled with the Spirit is not only a different word, but it is used in such a way as always to denote a single self-contained act of God. Not an abiding condition, but usually a sudden, critical manifestation and impartation of the power of God to a human servant, giving a mighty demonstration of the Holy Ghost in and through the service of that man or that woman. You take this word filled, for instance, over in the fourth chapter of the book of Luke. We were reading part of that chapter. But if you want to know just what the word implies, the suddenness and the singleness of the action, look at Luke chapter 4, verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Now the idea is not that the people of Nazareth were always a bad-tempered bunch and that they lived their lives constantly in a state of wrath. That is not the meaning. The meaning was that there was an instantaneous infilling of wrath within their hearts. And as you follow this word through as it's used in the New Testament, you'll find that again and again that is the idea. There's a very simple picture of it in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, in chapter 19 of that book, verses 28 and 29. You remember that this is Paul at Ephesus, and the people who made their money out of the idol worship at Ephesus weren't too happy at the effects of the preaching of the gospel. Now, watch it carefully in verse 28. When they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Here is a description of these idol makers. They were in a condition of being constantly, perpetually, and unchangeably full of wrath and indignation against the gospel. That's their ongoing condition. Now look at verse 29. And the whole city was filled with confusion. Now here's the second word. The people of Ephesus were not always in a state of confusion, but on this occasion they were suddenly filled with confusion. Now, I think that you can see the difference between the word in Ephesians 5, which indicates we ought, as these craftsmen existed full of wrath against the gospel, so we ought to exist full of the Spirit of God and His control and His dominion. And as the city of Ephesus was suddenly filled with a reaction against the gospel, so we ought to be suddenly filled with the Spirit of God in the power that He gives for the preaching of the Word of God. Now this filling, therefore, has the idea of something sudden, something single, something self-contained. It's an action of God in giving power. And if you go through the book of Acts, you'll find that that's how it's spoken of. Chapter 2, verse 4, we have read, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Chapter 4 and verse 8 says, then Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. Again, a single action. On that occasion, God filled him with the power of the Spirit. 4:31, we have read that again they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Chapter 13 and verse 9 speaks of Paul before Elymas the sorcerer, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, what are we to make of this? Let me try and make it as simple as I can. An awful lot of confusion among Christians in this area, so I want to be as simple and down to the ABCs that we can't mistake it. At salvation, a Christian receives the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now you say everybody knows that, but do they? When I talk about a Christian at the point of faith in Christ receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, I am not talking about him being born again. I am not talking about him being regenerated. He's regenerated in order to exercise faith. He is not regenerated as the result of faith. This is something that comes after faith. When a man exercises faith, Acts 2 and 38 says he shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In other words, when a man comes to Christ, the Spirit of God is imparted to him in such a way, and in turn he imparts such a blessing, such a gift, as will give that young Christian, usually, what we call the first love. A great revelation of Christ, where that young believer, usually very ignorant of deep biblical theology, usually hasn't done much deep study in the Word of God, but my almost by intuition, by the impartation of the gift of the Spirit of God, he immediately recognizes the glory of the Lord Jesus. He's immediately filled with the wonder of his person and the wonder of his grace. And as the result of that, He has a great desire to make man known. How often we see this, that as soon as a person is saved, there is within him a desire to get out and make Christ known. He receives such a gift of the Spirit of God that though he's untrained in theology, though he is inexperienced in the Christian pathway, yet he is immediately useful in the cause of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that immediately following the promise of the gift of the Spirit in Acts 2:38, the Holy Spirit goes on to record how that these young believers were established in the doctrine of the gospel, how they were established in the practice of the gospel. It didn't take them 25 years to become useful in the service of Jesus Christ. Having received the gift of the Holy Spirit, they were immediately useful in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.